Welcome to the Susquehanna Valley Baptist Pulpit, preaching a life worth living, abundant life in Christ. And now the message.
I'm going to start reading, if I could, over in verse number 21, Mark chapter 4, verse number 21. And what I'm getting ready to say sounds a little strange coming from a speaker. I'm not as interested in what this small passage is about as the exhortation in it, which will kind of set the tone for what the session is going to be about. Let's read it together, then you'll understand what I'm talking about. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 21, "And he," of course being Jesus, "said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man," now this is where I want you to really pay attention, verse number 23. "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And then in the 24th verse, he makes this statement. "And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given." Verse 25, we'll finish the thought. "For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." Now, in the context of what is the Lord is trying to portray here in the text, he's basically just letting them know that, you know, as a Christian, you're to be the light of the world. You know, there's nothing hid about our Christianity. You know, you set it on a candlestick, so forth and so on. But he makes sure that he lets them understand the value of one thing in particular. Verse 23 and 24, he touches it. When he says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And then he tells them in the next verse to take heed what you hear. Okay? So in other words, what you do with what you hear matters. And in the context of our relationship with each other, that's what I want to speak to you on tonight, if I could, for a few minutes. The title of the session is simply this: The Ministry of Listening. That's what I love about these kind of conferences, is that you're allowed to tackle some subject matter that you may not just hear in a normal church service. But the Lord is telling the disciples here that it matters that you listen well, because whatever you hear is going to give you the information you need to act on it, okay? And so that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, the ministry of listening. So many times in our marriages, I think one thing that will either produce fruitfulness will be someone who feels listened to, and it'll cause problems if somebody does not feel heard. And so there is a ministry aspect in learning to listen. And that's what we want to concentrate on this evening. Okay, let's pray and ask the Lord to meet with us tonight in this session. Father, we do love you tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to get together with, Lord, fellow believers in Christ. We've had a good meal. And now, Lord, we've opened the Word. And, Lord, the desire of these families after a long week of work, gathering here at the church on a Friday night, is that, Lord, you would minister to our hearts. You would do something special. I pray that, Lord, you would do a work in our marriages that would strengthen them. And then, Lord, above all things, I pray that Christ would be exalted through it all. For it's in Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. You and I are familiar with the idea that communication is important. As a matter of fact, some people would say that communication means everything when it comes to building any type of strong relationship. As a matter of fact, and when I say that, I'm not just talking about a marital relationship. I'm talking about any relationship at all. If you're here tonight and you have a good friend, I promise you that one thing you probably will say about that friend is that they listen well, because that's how you build friendships. You exchange ideas. You talk about things you're going through. Sometimes it may be your feelings, whatever the case may be, but you're not just the one doing the talking. If it's a good friend, it's also somebody that'll listen when you talk. On the job, you according to where you work and what you do for a living, they're going to communicate to you what they want you to do, how they want you to perform. If you don't listen well and perform your job well, you may not have your job very long. And so it's very important to be it. So all kinds of relationships are built not just off of the communication side, but also on the listening side. Now, when it comes to good communication, here's what you and I understand or know. It's a two-way street. Communication is about talking as well as it is about listening. And if you really break that down, on the talking side of things, talking is expressive. It's about you. You're the subject of the conversation when you're the one doing the talking, right? I mean, you're expressing ideas, you're letting someone else in on or letting them know how you feel about a certain situation or what may need to be done, whatever the case may be. But whenever you're listening, that is twofold as well. It's both educational, because listening is learning, and then it's reactional, meaning this: whatever we hear, it is designed that we would react, that it might would change our behavior, or it might produce in us some type of reaction to it. It's already been quoted here, I believe maybe tonight by Pastor Starnes, that we husbands are told in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 that we are to dwell with our wives, what? According to knowledge. In other words, the indication is that we study them like a student. And that means if we're going to take that class, we're going to have to learn to listen real well, right? And listening is an important part of any healthy information. It's the best way to gain knowledge about something or somebody is just listen to them talk. Now, with that being said, in listening, you find out some very important things. I'm enamored at how much in the Bible the idea of listening on purpose comes up. We'll fast forward in our hearts to the book of Revelation in chapter number 2, where at the beginning of the many letters, the seven, as a matter of fact, that were written to the churches of Asia there. But the Lord said this at the end of His first letter to the church at Ephesus. He's made this statement. He said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, why was that important for? Because what the Lord had told the church there at Ephesus in those letters, of the seven letters, five of them were warning letters. And the premise was this: here's what's wrong. I'm going to tell it to you. If you're smart, you'll listen, and then you'll do something about it, or else. And a lot of times the information we're receiving in our relationships is given to us. And sometimes there's not necessarily a verbal ultimatum. It can get to that point. You hope it never does. But can I say, if we learn to listen well and react well in our relationships with our marriages, the same way that we should in our relationship with the Lord, then our marriages are going to be strong. They're because that's why we communicate, is to get a response. We want to see something happen. We want to see something take place of a positive nature. And so in a healthy relationship, we know there's conversation, right? I think about our relationship with the Lord tonight. If you and I are here as saved people, we talk to the Lord and then He talks to us, right? He talks to us through the Word. We talk to Him through our prayers. But you know what that means? That means both parties listen. What if I told you tonight one of the most godlike things you can ever do is give somebody your ear? Have you ever thought about that tonight? Because as you pray, when God tells you and I to pray, He's really given us the floor and He's letting us express ourselves with our words, and then He literally is listening to what we say. You can go back and start in the book of Genesis and watch people pray and then watch God respond to the prayer they prayed based on the information that He heard. Why was He able to do that? Because He listened. And too many times in marriage, we may be in a situation where our significant other is talking, but we're not listening. As I said earlier, if you have a good friendship, then you're going to be able to talk, and that individual that is your friend will listen. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27 and verse 9, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." It's given the idea that one individual's talking while the other is listening, and how that just like ointment and perfume puts a good odor in the air, if you have a heavy heart or if there's something you really want to communicate, what you want on the other side is someone receiving what you're saying, right? I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things you can do to me that won't offend me, but if we're talking, don't ignore me, right? Don't act like I'm not there. Don't act like that whatever I'm saying does not matter, or I'll probably go find somebody to talk to, even if it's a kid that'll listen. And so we know that when it comes to our relationship with God, there's an expression and a listen, and whenever it comes to friendship, and you know, in a healthy marriage, it's the same way. There's communication. And can I say this? Whenever communication stops inside of our marriages, listen to me closely, it's a sign of a couple different things. Number one, it could be a sign of this, that either one party or both parties have given up. That would be the only reason you would stop listening to whatever you were hearing from your significant. I mean, why listen or why talk if the other person isn't going to listen? How long would you stand and talk to somebody today if they just were not a bit interested in what you were saying? I have to watch as a pastor. Sometimes after service, you know, I kind of hang around down at the front. That way Anybody that wants to come by can come by and spend as much time as they want. There's not a line at the back door kind of forming behind them. Sometimes, you know, you can feel rushed in a situation like that. And but sometimes I have to be careful, because if a conversation goes long, if I'm not careful, I'll be doing this. I'll see some commotion over here. I notice there's somebody waiting behind that individual. And I don't want to give off the signal that what you're saying right now is not important, or they won't stop next time and talk. And so there's a discipline involved in this thing of listening. And so sometimes whenever it stops in a marriage, it could be because one or both parties has just given up, so they quit talking to one another because nobody's listening. Or it could be this, that the marriage has what I call a dominator. And sometimes whenever a marriage has a dominator, then really, if that's a person's disposition in their mind or in their heart, all they really care about, as long as I'm happy, it doesn't matter how you feel. As long as the deck's stacked in my direction and everything's working in a way that makes me happy. And what will happen in that situation is the other party will begin to voice areas they would love to see change or something of that nature, but they won't be heard, because as long as it's working my way, then that's all that really matters to me. And you know, it's unfortunate, but there are a lot of silent marriages. And can I say this? A silent marriage can be a dangerous marriage. Unless your partner is just not verbal or expressive, unless they, unless that's just not kind of how they operate, it's one thing for them just not to be natured that way. It's another thing for them to wish they could and know it wouldn't do any good. Does that make sense tonight? And so some people, I'm afraid, at times get so callous, they've gotten to the place where they ignore what I call are the warning signs that are coming from their spouse. They ignore the tears, or they ignore the size of frustrations. And can I say, whenever that's happening in our marriages, it's a danger zone. You never want to get to the place where that your spouse does not feel like they can be expressive. Go with me to the book of James tonight, chapter number 1. I want to walk you through one of the greatest passages in the Bible on listening. Unless you and I see, or let the Word of God challenge us tonight. Listening. You know, even if you're not good with your words and don't do good expressing yourself emotionally, anybody can listen if you just have the will to. It's not that hard at all, unless you are hearing impaired, and then because of the device of technology, most of the time even then it can be worked on, right? So we're in James chapter number 1. We're going to start reading tonight in verse number 19, and watch closely how the passage unfolds. James says this, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be," watch closely now, "swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." You know what that verse is really telling you and I? That there is a discipline that comes with listening. You say, well, why would you call it a discipline before? Because he calls for swiftness in listening whenever it's a whole lot easier to be swift to speak. Is that right? I don't know about you, but whenever I'm having a conversation with somebody, it's not hard for me to already be preparing what to say next, because as they're talking and I'm hearing some of it, my mind's already formulating the answer. But James said, listen, here's what I want you to do. Be swift, meaning exert your energy and effort in listening, and don't worry so much about responding. Now, there's a reason for that, okay? If you, while you're talking to somebody, aren't listening, then that means this: you're not processing. And there's a lot of times in our marital relationships where our spouse is talking, but we're not doing a good job listening. So we're not processing what we're hearing, and sometimes we will reply with an answer of some sort and carry a complete conversation on. And have you ever heard this? Somebody say, "You're listening, but you're not hearing me." You ever heard that phrase before? Do they say that in Pennsylvania? We say that in North Carolina. One of the reasons we say that in North Carolina is because we talk so fast down there that we really don't hear what you say half the time, okay? We have a very lazy English, and we'll jam 5 or 6 words together like "you want to." And it really, what we are saying is "do you want to," but we just say "you want to." You can't spell it. It's not in the dictionary, but we talk weird, okay? And it's a lazy English, and it is what it is. Not listening in the South, because you may not be able to comprehend. You may need an interpreter, right, according to what part of the country that you're from. But listen, he says this, for us to be swift to hear. It gives the idea that when someone else is speaking, you almost sit up on the edge of your seat and do this. Now, I do this now because my hearing is slowly but surely starting to go. But the idea is, I'm so keenly interested in what you are going to say, I want to hang on every word and make sure I understand it. As a matter of fact, sometimes as we talk to each other in our marital relationships, it may be good before we allow the other party to give an answer to what we're talking about, say this: repeat back to me what I just said. Sometimes we couldn't repeat it back. Now, I have this, I don't know if it's a manly trait or what it is, but a lot of times my wife, she kind of checks me on this verse. She'll be talking to me and I may be looking somewhere else or fiddling with something, and she'll say, "You know, tell me what I just said." And then I get in trouble when I repeat it back verbatim, because you're not supposed to be able to do that. You're supposed to be, and I don't do it much. And then sometimes she's like, "Now," and then she says this, "Look at me so I know you're listening to me," right? And so I learned early in the marriage that meant a whole lot to her. But hey, listen, if you and I aren't listening to whatever is being said by our spouse, we really don't have anything of any value to say until we've listened. And so he tells us here that, and I don't know about you, but it's unnatural for me to be swift to hear and slow to speak. It's more natural for me to be swift to speak and slow to hear, because I'm good at running my mouth. I mean, it just comes natural to me. I think for like 12 years straight in school, I got most talkative award every year and got sit in the back of the class. So I've always had a gift of gab. But there's more to it. He connects our hearing and speaking, what's this now, with our emotional state. Look at the latter part of verse 19. After he said, "My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak," then he said this, "and with that, slow to wrath." Remember I said earlier that listening is a discipline, as is being slow to speak. And when you listen well and you choose your words carefully in response, it keeps the emotions in state. Now, why is that important? Because how many conversations are had in a marriage where someone doesn't feel listened to, therefore they get frustrated. Next thing you know, the voice levels begin to raise. And if you're not careful, you turn around and you're in an argument. I promise you, if we learn to execute James chapter 1 and verse number 19, it's really almost impossible for it to ever get there, because as somebody, your spouse talks to you, you're going to keenly be listening to what they're saying. You're going to take the time to process what needs to be said next. Maybe it's an apology. Maybe it's, "I never saw it that way. Maybe I didn't know you felt that way. But now that I understand, we'll be more than happy to work on this. We can make changes that'll make this better." By the time you get to verse 20, He lets us see the deeper reason for him giving us this exhortation. He says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." So if somebody's not being heard, and the person they're talking to is 10 times more apt to be quick to speak than listen, it's going to raise their emotional state to the place, next thing you know, now we have anger in our conversations. When we get there, he's letting us know that the righteousness of God will not be present whenever your emotions are out of check. And it all started because somebody wouldn't listen. It's very important to really process that as far as our relationships go. Now, in verse number 21, he goes on to say this, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Notice this, though, in context. He said this, when you receive what is needed, it has positive results. He just two verses earlier was telling us to be what? Swift to hear and slow to speak. And here he tells us, whenever you and I receive the engrafted word into our souls, it's able to save them. And can I say this? Just like receiving the word of God has the ability to save your soul, receiving what your spouse says has the ability sometimes to save our marriage and save them from a whole lot of extra turmoil and heartache. But it's not just that we listen. Look in verse number 22. We have to learn that whatever you hear is designed to be responded to. He says in verse 22, "But be ye," what's this now, "doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Can I say this? Anytime in a marital relationship, and these are going to happen many times throughout the years, where there is a conversation that needs to be had, what our spouse is hoping for whenever they're willing to open themselves up and share that piece of information that could change our marriages for the better, they're hoping for a positive reaction. Nobody wants to express themselves over and over and over and nothing change. What it says to that individual, number one, I wasn't listening, or number two, I don't care. However, as he tells us here in the Word, that whenever we hear, we should not just hear, but we should be doers of the word. In other words, what you hear should impact. It should change behavior. It should change actions and attitudes. And can I say this evening that it is very rare for a marriage to have a multiplicity of problems where there has not been an attempt to verbalize them. The reason so often people quit verbalizing is because they're just not being heard. That's dangerous. It's very, very unhealthy. And can I say it's more common for the issues to have been verbalized many times only when the non-listener gets the word of a radical move coming. Sometimes they get serious. I heard an illustration or a story not long ago. A lady was sharing something about her own marriage, and she was talking about how that she had for years tried to get her husband to talk about their issues and maybe even go get some counseling, and he wouldn't hear nothing of it. Every time she would bring it up, he would literally cut her off. No, I've been told you before, I'm not going for that. We're not talking about this. We're fine. Though that's not how she felt, and so she continued to try to verbalize that. Well, here's how she got his attention. She went and drew up the papers. And when he come home one day, there they were laying on the kitchen table. He walks in and sees those divorce papers and says, whoa, hang on a second, we'll go to counseling. It never had to get there. But she used an extreme measure to get his attention just simply because when she tried other times and in other ways, it just would not turn his head. So we get to verse 23 of James chapter 1, and it says this, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." In other words, it's like this. When our spouses communicate to us issues of concern or issues they would desire to see change in, and we hear that and we walk away and do nothing about it. He said it's like a man that looks into the law of God and reads the charge against him and that walks away with the attitude, I'm not changing it, I don't care. Now, in a spiritual realm, you and I know that would be detrimental. That would be dangerous to look at God's Word and not care enough to do something with the information that said that change needed to happen. But let me ask you a question. Is it any less dangerous to do it in our relationships with our spouse? Oh, it's detrimental. It's detrimental not to be a good listener in your relationship. He comes to verse 25 and he says this, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," watch closely now, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful," you see that in your Bible? "Hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So in a parallel fashion, he says, if you hear the word and then you act on the word, you'll be blessed. And can I say, when it comes to our relationships with our spouses, if we hear by listening what they have to say, and then we process that, and then if there is change that's needed, we make changes, guess what that's going to do to your relationship? It's going to bless it. It's going to make things that at one time are contentious all of a sudden become a point of joy and enjoyment. And so the Bible's got a lot of exhortations for both listening and warnings about not listening. I'll share a few with you with what time that I have left here in this session. And the first thing I want to point out to you, if you're taking notes, feel free to write this down. The first thing that we want to make sure that we note tonight is asking the question of why should we listen? Well, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. "So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So the greatest enrichments of my life come because you hear something and you act on it. Put yourself in the workforce. Let's just say this. Your boss man comes to you next week and says something of this nature. "Hey, appreciate you working for us. If you'll learn to do this, we'll double your salary." Is that anything you'd like to hear? That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Oh, it's not a hard ask. You know, we just need you to do this. And you know, deep in your mind, I can already do that. That's not a problem at all. You just get ready to stroke the check, right? I mean, that's what I would be thinking. You know, if my church said, "Hey, if you'll preach one more sermon a week, we'll double your pay." I'll be like, "What night you want it on? Tuesday or Thursday? You pick Friday, Saturday morning, middle of the day, Wednesday. I don't care. You just pick the date. I'll get the next sermon ready." You know why? Because they said something to me that was within my control I could do. And so for you and I, he's letting us know that faith, which is something we need, it's how our spiritual life works, come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Well, we should listen just simply because it's going to enrich your relationship when you hear from the other party. A relationship's never just one. A relationship is two. And I want to say this, for us to get maximum happiness out of our marriages, the happiness of the other party has got to be as important to you and I as our own. And the only way we can figure out whether or not our significant other is happy and satisfied and enjoying the trip is listen to what they say. So we see the reason we should listen is because if you're going to ever experience the most enriching part of any relationship, it comes through the avenue of learning to listen. So that brings us to this. Why don't people listen? If listening is so advantageous, and if listening is something that's going to benefit me as much as anything else I do, then why would we not be more apt to listen? I'll give you a few verses to consider. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter number 5, in verse number 11, the writer says this, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Now that word dull simply means this. It means sluggish or lazy. And can I say this, that a lot of our dullness when it comes to listening can come for the reason or purpose of because we are preoccupied. Most likely the reason people don't listen is because they don't want to hear what they're getting ready to have to hear. Which is why the writer said in Hebrews, he said, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. You know why it's going to be hard to be uttered? Because it's going to be hard to be heard. But if we have gotten ourselves in a situation in our marriages from time to time to where we need to hear some hard stuff, it's better to listen to it today because it's not going to get better until you hear it and do something about it. As a matter of fact, I can make this case tonight when it comes to the things we need to hear, though they may not be pleasurable. The farther you kick that can down the road, when you finally do have to listen, it's going to be worse. It's best to hear about it now and do something about it now than it is to wait 6 weeks, 6 months, or 6 years. Because while we've got that other individual at bay, not listening to anything that's going on or that's bothering them, they're not getting better. It's making them worse. The more time goes by, that they feel neglected or rejected and things like that. And it's sad. But the idea of this verse is simply that. I got a lot to say. It's going to be hard for you to hear. And you're dull to hear. Meaning this, you don't want to hear it. And that, my friend, is somewhere you and I never want to get. I believe this does happen from time to time with people that won't listen. They live oftentimes to hear the sound of a name being signed to a document that's finalizing their marriage. They live to hear the U-Haul pulling out of the driveway with all the belongings of their significant other. Those are sounds I never want to hear in my life, and I'm highly unlikely to hear those if I make it a point to be a good listener. Proverbs 12:15 says this concerning reasons people won't listen. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. How many marital conversations go something like this? Someone brings something up, and before they can ever really fully, I guess you could say, communicate what's on their heart, they've already been interrupted and somebody's got the answer, the other person, right? And he says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Listen to me now. We have to understand that if our relationship involves two of us, then we can't discount how the other person is feeling as if it's not real or doesn't matter. You got to be the kind of person that will allow someone to communicate to you in such a fashion that, and a lot of times, or I could say sometimes, that communication is going to let you know there's some things that I would love to see change just so we could be better together, right? And so we got to get to the place where, you know what, I think things are one way, but if they're not, and that's what you say you feel about them, then evidently they're not. And we need to talk about that. I need to listen so that I can make some changes. And then lastly, we'll deal with this, and I only have a few minutes left, so I want to be mindful of the time tonight. I want to talk to you real quickly about the mistakes people make concerning listening, okay? Now, here's what the Lord Himself said to us about listening to Him. In Proverbs 28, verse 9, the Bible says this, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." You know what God said to us? If you won't listen to me, don't talk to me. Now, can I say this? In a marriage, if there is a dominating party that only cares about their happiness and not the happiness of their spouse, they have no problem expressing what they want to make that marriage what makes them happy. What would it be like, though, after 10, 15, 20 years, if the one who never gets a chance to talk because they're never listened to looked up and said, no more? For 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, you've been telling me what you want, and I've been trying to live up to that, and you never listen to anything I say. I'm done. That would be like, stop the press. This is bad, right? It never has to get there. And so the Lord tells us that He will not even hear what we have to say if we're not going to listen to Him. I know that goes against this quasi-American Christianity, which kind of paints God up like He's kind of like Santa Claus. And, you know, He's always giving out Tootsie Rolls, and we can treat Him any way we want to. And then anytime we want a Tootsie Roll, we just go back and say, God can have a Tootsie Roll, and He gives us Tootsie Rolls. That don't work that way. It's not even the biblical representation of who God is. God says, you want to listen to me? Well, whenever I speak to you in the law, I need you to be swift to hear, and then I need you to react to it. Well, guess what? You can pass that same principle right on down the line to the other relationships in your life. People like to be heard, and they like whenever they speak for someone to be attentive and process and care enough to put into action, maybe if possible, some of the things that they're communicating. Another verse that really jumps off the page when it comes to mistakes people make concerning listening. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. It's just a verse about selfishness. In other words, a fool does not want to listen and therefore don't want to learn. But what they want to tell you is what they think, right? And can I say, it doesn't work that way. That's not how humanity is designed. Whenever God put Adam and Eve together in the garden, there was going to be a completing of each other. The help me idea comes out of Adam. Something's missing. God said, I've got the perfect one to fill in those gaps. And He put them together and two became one flesh, right? And so when it comes to our communication inside of a relationship, I don't want to be the individual that has no delight in hearing what my spouse says, because all I'm really consumed with is letting you know what I want and what's going to make me happy. I've said this before. I don't know if I've said it here in your marriage conference or not, but if we really want to know the health of our marriage, if we were tonight to pass out a paper and say, okay, tell us the health on a scale of 1 to 10 of your marriage and why. If you really want to get technical about it, I would not be able to answer that for our marriage. She would have to do that for me. And vice versa. Because a truly healthy and happy marriage in God's economy is not how I feel about my marriage. It's what my spouse would say about my marriage. In other words, if she would rate it as a 10, Brother Starnes, and say he's doing a really good job as a husband, then it would be what it was. But I can walk around and say it's a 10 all day long, and if she's over going, it's a 5, it might be a 5. And that's when you're behaving, right? Well, then it's not a 10. It's more likely a 5. But I guarantee this, if she thought it was a 5 and I thought it was a 10, I promise you one of the common denominators would be this. She's talking and I ain't listening. Proverbs 18:13 says this, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. If you really want to get technical about it, that is a sister verse to what James was saying earlier about being swift to hear and slow to speak. Someone who is answering something before you ever get out. I know what you're going to say. I already know it. You know, you've got 3 words out. I already know. You've already said it before. I heard it 6 months ago. Yeah. This is the problem, ain't it? Well, hang on a second. I'm not done. Let me finish my thought. Give me the respect to hear me out. You know, it's kind of strange going back to what James said in James 1:19. Is that not the nature of conversation? Anytime it gets out of control, it's because somebody's not being heard and somebody's speaking before the other person's done, and it's back and forth. And then whenever they escalate like that and they get emotional, emotionally charged, emotionally out of control, it's just simply because people aren't just listening so you can respond from a point of intellectualism. You have heard what has been said. And so therefore, you're ready to respond with something, with some substance. I give you this, and then we'll close here. I only have a minute or two left. But you know what the root cause is for an individual who won't listen? I'm going to give you this. This is simple. It's just pride. It's a very narcissistic behavior to think what I have to say is important, what I have to say matters, What you have to say is of a secondary nature. Now, I'll give you the example for this, okay? Over in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible is talking about the lowliness of mind that we should esteem each other with. And it gives us as an example the Lord Jesus Christ, who while He was on this earth, though He was equal with the Father, He made Himself subservient. And listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Everything the Father said to the Son listened. Now, He was equal with the Father, but He listened to what the Father said and responded accordingly. And His willingness to listen was nothing else or nothing more, I should say it this way, than a true symbol of His humility. See, when you're humble, you can listen to people because you respect the person that's talking. But if you're prideful and you're a little narcissistic, then it doesn't matter how anybody else feels. I'm the only one in the room, or I'm the most intellectual person in the room, and the rest of y'all are peons. You have no sense, as we would say down south. Is that not arrogant? But whenever your spouse does not get to finish a sentence, or they can't even bring up something because we won't listen, that's exactly what we're communicating. Give you one more verse, maybe two real quickly here, and I'm done. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And then in Proverbs 2:2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. There is only one way in a marriage to really grow together in longevity and learn each other. You got to be a good listener. And so tonight, listening in a marriage is a ministry. It's one of the ways you serve your spouse. And if you are not good at it now, I would make tonight one of those pivotal nights in my life where I first asked the Lord to forgive me for not being a listener, not respecting my spouse enough that when they spoke, that I was swift to hear. And that I wanted to hear so I could process, so that I could change whatever needed to be changed to make my marriage more profitable for us to live in happiness and for God to be glorified. Let's close in a word of prayer.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact us, please write us at P.O. Box 126-541, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17112, and visit our website at www.svbcpa.org. Until next time.